You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Khususan ala Sayyidi Rasuli wa Khatam al-Anbiya wa ala alihi al-Askiya wa ashabihi al-Atqiya amma ba'd. Over the past 2 days, we covered the importance of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in particular, we talked about the different virtues there are and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us in the Quran and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us in the hadith to establish a solid and firm connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla in the Quran, He says, "And when my servants ask you regarding me, tell them I am close. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ." And this is very interesting because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses questions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the companions, He usually uses the third person, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَ يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ. They ask you regarding this, so say to them. But when it comes, when the companions ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions said, "O Messenger of Allah, is our Lord close by that we should call on Him quietly, or is our Lord far away that we should scream out to Him?" You guys understand the question? There's a dispute amongst the companions. When you make dua, should you make it very loud, or should you make it silently? You know, and they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, "O Messenger of Allah, is our Lord close by or is He far away?" So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the Sahaba that we are waiting. And then because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the answer, but he wanted the answer to come from Allah. And the answer comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when your servants ask, when my servants ask you regarding me, He doesn't say I am close. Directly Allah gives the answer Himself and He says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيب, indeed I am close. And the scholars, they say that this verse shows so much love that every other time the companions asked something to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a mediator to answer. But when it comes to the companions asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers Himself. And this is the great love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He encourages us to call on to Him alone. In one beautiful verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says to us, He says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا عِبَادِي, O my servants, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, who have wronged themselves, or who have transgressed themselves. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, do not be despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is beyond you. Why is that? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He can forgive all of the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. And then the next verse is actually very powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. Turn back to Allah, submit yourself to Allah before death comes. Because if you delay it, then you won't be helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. Very powerful. Allah azza wa jal, again and again in the Quran. Today we read a very beautiful verse of Surah Tahrim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. That repent to Allah, a very, very sincere repentance. Such a sincere repentance. You know, dua has such a powerful effect. Musa alayhi salam, during his time, they say there was a person, you know, during Musa alayhi salam's time, I'm trying to remember the story properly. There was a time where his people, they came to him and they said to him that we don't have rain, so make dua to Allah. So when they came in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make dua, all of them, Allah azza wa jalla said, I am willing to accept your dua, but there is one person amongst you who has sinned abundantly. Have him removed and we will accept your dua. We will have the rain come down. So Musa alayhi salam makes the announcement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to send the rain down, but there's one person amongst us who has sinned so much that because of him, the rain isn't coming down. From this story itself, before we finish on, we learn that sins prevent the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a sinner being in the community, many times is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy does not come down upon that community. SubhanAllah, look at that. That's so detailed, that's so deep. What if we are the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy isn't coming down on our community? What if we are those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry at? So Musa alayhi salam, he says to the person, leave. And everyone's looking that who's going to leave, who's going to leave. That person thinks to himself that if I leave the community right now, if I leave the gathering, I'm going to be shamed. So he raises his hands and he makes dua to Allah. He says, Allah, you showered your mercy on me by not exposing me by my name. But if I walk out of here, I'm going to be exposed. I would rather than being exposed, turn myself to you and ask you for forgiveness. And Musa alayhi salam is waiting for that person to leave and he's begging Allah in his heart for forgiveness. And within a few moments, the rain starts showering down. So Musa alayhi salam says, oh Allah, I didn't see anyone leave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we gave the rain because of the person that you asked to leave. You guys understand that? The rain came down because of that person's tawbah, because of that person's mercy. So no person is away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All it takes is a sincerity of the heart. All it takes is the turning of the heart. All it takes is sincere repentance, and our entire lives can turn upside down. That's the power of dua. And I quoted one very beautiful tradition earlier, and I wanted to reiterate that before we move forward to today's discussion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-du'a'u silahul mu'min." That supplication and dua is actually the weapon of the believer. Now, one thing that's very important for us to know before we move forward, that today I wanted to cover some etiquettes of dua. Some etiquettes that we should abide by while doing dua. Now, etiquettes are not obligatory. Does everyone understand that first thing? Okay. So, for example, if I said to you, it is from the etiquettes of dua that you perform 2 rak'at in the state of wudu, face the qibla, and then make dua. That's correct. Is that obligatory? No. You can make dua while you're driving. You can make dua while you're in a surgery. You can make dua while you're fixing a car. You can make dua while you're walking, while you're sitting. You know, you can make dua wherever you want, however you want. You can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet, etiquettes are also very important. Sometimes people, they come in the masjid wearing clothes that are not appropriate. They're wearing, you know, sleeveless shirts that, you know, something like that you would wear on a basketball court, a jersey. And very short shorts. And they come in. Now, obviously, as a community leaders or community members, we should be careful on how we approach people because maybe that was the first time in this person's life he's ever come to the masjid, period. So at times like that, we shouldn't reprimand them on their clothing. We should welcome them in, let them settle in, and then maybe at another time, kind of bring the situation up regarding more appropriate dressing in the masjid. But at times when I have seen that this person is regular to the masjid, I'll go to them and I'll say, brother, why are you dressed like this? So he'll say, brother, Sheikh, I'm covering my satr. Big fatwa, mashallah, right? Very smart guy, right? I'm covering my satr from the navel to my knees. I've done it. So I say, brother, mashallah, that's very good. But you may have covered what's necessary for you to cover. But does that mean that you have fulfilled the etiquette of the masjid? Would you go dressed like this to your brother's wedding? Your mother would slap you on the face. She would get mad at you. She'd disown you as a child if you came to your brother's wedding like this. And here you find it, you know, rightful that you come to the masjid, the house of Allah, dressed like this. So there are certain things that are etiquettes. Now, etiquettes are something that's very unfortunate, but the reality of the matter is that in America, there is very little focus on etiquettes. We focus mainly on the fara'id, the wajibat, the muharramat, those things that are obligatory, those things that are prohibited. But very few people actually talk about the etiquettes of things. When we were students in madrasa, our teachers didn't even bother talking about the obligatory matters. Because if you didn't know the obligatory matters, you should slap yourself on the face. You should figure that out yourself. What they were teaching us was the etiquettes. That when you're walking in the hallway, you never walk in front of your teacher. When your teacher comes to the door, you open the door for your teacher. Our teacher would order water, and if we would give water to our teacher, he would refuse to drink it if we weren't holding it the right way. One hand holding it in the middle of the cup, the other hand placed right beneath the cup, and you're respectfully giving that cup of water to your teacher. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? So there are so many things that relate to etiquettes that are lost. And the reason why they're lost with time, it's because today we are debating about this is bid'ah, this is haram, this is farad, this is wajib. We're talking about things that are on an obvious level. We're not talking about the details underneath the obvious. That's why the Arabic poet, he says something very beautiful. He says, أَدِّبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْأَصْحَابِ أَدِّبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْأَصْحَابِ طُرُكَ الْعِشْكُ كُلُّهَا أَدَابِ. He says, oh my dear friends, embody in yourself good character. Because every pathway to love must go through the pathway of good character. You must have good etiquettes if you wish to love someone. Without good etiquettes, your love has no meaning at all. So when we sit down to make dua, when we're sitting down for this very intimate ibadah, very intimate communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to make sure that we are abiding to the etiquettes of dua, inshallah al-aziz. I won't be gathering all the etiquettes or going over all of them, just a few of them, some major things I thought we'd cover today, inshallah, and hopefully we can try to implement them in whatever nights we have left in the month of Ramadan in our dua. The first thing, when we make dua, we should always start off by, you know, being ready for dua, making sure our mind is clear of worldly matter, cutting ourselves off from the world. So possibly a good idea to turn your phone off, you know, close your computer, turn your TV off, go to a place that's nice and quiet, that no one will distract you. Obviously, the best place to go to make dua would be the masjid. No one's going to distract you, no worldly discussion here. If you bring a phone inside this masjid, you get charged with the tariff there. Okay, so people are terrified of bringing their phones inside this masjid. And you know, you're here in a place where you're not going to be attached to the world at all, first thing. The second thing, when you come to the masjid, you should always make wudu before you sit down for dua. This is a very powerful thing. When a person sits down and does wudu before making dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a lot of barakah. The third thing, when you sit down to make dua, you should try to face the qibla. There's a very famous narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions came and they said, O Messenger of Allah, there has been no rain in Medina Munawwara, make dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed wudu, he then faced the qibla, and he prayed what we call Salatul Istisqa, the prayer of seeking rain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he faced the qibla while making dua, you know, and also while praying. Obviously there was a prayer involved, so he was facing the qibla for that. But even after the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to face towards the qibla and make his dua. So we should face the qibla while making dua as well, inshallah al-aziz. Now when we sit down to make dua, it is most appropriate that you sit in a manner that is respectful, yet will allow you to focus in your dua. So you don't want to make yourself absolutely uncomfortable, but at the same time, you don't want to sit disrespectfully as well. So if someone's sitting with their legs extended while leaning back on a cushion, and kind of like they're reading a magazine, but they have their hands raised for dua, that's not suitable either. But at the same time, you don't want to put yourself in a very uncomfortable position that because of your seating, now you're inconvenienced in making your dua. The best position to sit in is the tashahud position. Because we know it's comfortable, and we know it's respectful as well. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed this method of seating while praying salah. Okay. When we sit down to make dua, we should also raise our hands. The purpose of raising the hands is to kind of imitate the hand raising of a beggar. So some people, they say, should our hands be touching, or should they be wide apart, shoulder length? So the reality of the matter is that you can keep your hands however you want. What's more appropriate is that they're in front of your chest and there's maybe, you know, just a slight gap between them, and you're raising your hands and you're begging Allah. You can even have them touch. It's not like it's haram. But you're supposed to be imitating the raising of the hands of a beggar. You're begging in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when you start your dua, you should always start with praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hamd. And then after praising Allah, then you send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a very beautiful tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person came to the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after performing his prayer, he raised his hands to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when he sat down to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding that person, ajjala hada, this person is being hasty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِتَحْمِيدِ اللَّهِ وَالثَّنَايَ عَلَيْهِ. That when one of you decides to make dua, he should start off by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ يُصَلِّ عَلَى النَّبِي. And then he should send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ يَدْعُو بَعْدُ بِمَا شَاءَ. Then after that, he can make dua for whatever he wants. So start off by praising Allah, sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you can move forward with making whatever dua you like. This hadith is narrated by Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, and also narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi. There's also another very beautiful narration that Imam Tabrani rahmatullahi alayhi narrates in his Al-Usat. It's actually a statement of Ali radiallahu anhu, that Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Kullu du'a'in mahjubun hatta yusalla ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad." Very powerful. He said every single dua is stopped. It's kind of like it comes and it just stops there. Until it only goes higher until you send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that's kind of like a barrier between your dua. It just comes there and it stops. So sending salawat on the Prophet ﷺ is also a very powerful form of having your dua accepted. Now, when you send salawat on the Prophet ﷺ, ideally, you wish to send it at the beginning and also at the end. The reason is because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His Prophet so much that He is definitely going to accept any dua we make for His Prophet. Yes or no? So if we make dua for His Prophet at the beginning and end, then we have high hopes that everything in the middle will also be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we always start and end our dua with salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when we make dua, if we are going to make dua for anyone, first we should start by making dua for ourselves. Showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are in most need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and His mercy. And then obviously also the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the family members, and so on and so forth. You can make dua, whatever dua you want. Now when you make dua, many people, they are confused. Should I make dua in Arabic? Should I make dua in English? Should I make dua in Farsi? Should I make dua in Urdu? Well, the best dua you can make is by using the exact words that were once upon a time on the tongue of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Any dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made with his own tongue can never be matched by the words of other people. You can add all the malakut jabarut you want to, all the tongue twister words you want to, but if they didn't come from the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they can never have the same barakah. So whenever we make dua, we should try to start off by making dua with the duas of the Quran and also the duas from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay? Ideally, we should learn the Arabic and memorize them. But if, for example, we can't learn the Arabic du'as for whatever reason, then it is absolutely permissible to also make du'a in whatever language you wish. Now, while making du'a, there are certain things that we shouldn't make du'a for. Okay, this is also very important from the etiquettes of du'a. The first thing is that we should never make du'a for anything haram. If something's haram, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it prohibited, then why would you even ask for that? You should ask for the exact opposite. My teacher used to say that a person whose mother has made dua for him will never ever win the lottery. He says, you win the lottery is a sign that your mother never made dua for you. So I said, why is that, Sheikh? He said, because it's the first dua every mother makes for her child, that, oh Allah, give my child halal and tayyib rizq. Oh Allah, give my child pure and halal and permitted rizq. You know, that which is permissible. Give that kind of rizq to my child. And if you're getting haram rizq, probably you made your mother angry, that's why she didn't make this dua for you. Okay? So we should do the exact opposite rather than asking for the halal. You know how yesterday, rather than asking for the haram, yesterday I told you guys about Mirza Ghalib. You guys remember? Someone saw him in the masjid. He said, Hazrat, what are you doing here? This is not your place. He said, I ran out of wine, so I thought I'd come to Allah and ask for it. Astaghfirullah, la hawla la quwwata illa billah. Okay? So you shouldn't ask for haram. This is not permissible. Another thing is that we should never make dua against anyone. Unless there was severe oppression involved. And even that, we should be very, very careful. So sometimes as parents, we are very loose with our tongue when it comes to cursing our children. We say bad things. Dara satya nasho. This is very common in our language. We say this a lot. You know what that means? May you be destroyed. May you be destructed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تدعوا على أنفسكم ولا تدعوا على أولادكم ولا تدعوا على أموالكم وَلَا تُوَافِقُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ سَاعَةً يُسْأَلُوا فِيهَا عَطَاءٌ فَيُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi, and this hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. It's authentic narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi said, do not make dua against yourself. So don't say bad things to yourself first thing. Do not say bad things. وَلَا تَدْعُوا عَلَىٰ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. Do not pray against your children. The third thing, وَلَا تَدْعُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ, and do not pray against your wealth. Don't curse your possessions, your belongings. Why? Because there is a time that if your dua matches that time, Allah will accept it. And if you make dua against yourself, and that time comes, that exact moment where Allah is accepting the dua, now you're going to be cursed. You guys understand that? I'll give you guys an example. There was a very famous scholar in Islamic history by the name of Imam A'raj. Have you guys ever heard of his name? Very famous scholar, Imam A'raj, rahimahullah. Anyone know what A'raj means? Limp. Someone who can't walk properly, who's a limp. In our language, we say langra. Someone who can't walk properly. You call that A'raj. Now, why was he called a limp? There's a story said regarding him that when he was young, he was one day playing with a bird. And what he did was, he took a rope, he tied it to the bird's leg, and the bird, when it would fly in the air, he would pull it down right away. You guys understand that? The bird would fly, he'd pull it down. Then the bird would fly, he'd pull it down. He was a little kid playing. So his mother said to him, stop this. He said, why? You know how kids, they don't think their mom, their parents, they always think their parents are wrong. So he said, why? I know what I'm doing. I have control. His mother said, look, you don't have control over anything. If the bird flies with a lot of energy and you yank it, you're going to mess its leg up. So he said, mom, don't worry about it. I got it all under control. You guys ever heard of that one before? I got it all under control. Don't worry about it. I know better than you. So the bird went in the air and he pulled it hard. And just like his mother said, he broke the leg of the bird. So his mother said, may Allah do the same to you. And then from there, Imam Araj became a limp. And for the rest of his life, he used to walk like a limp because of the dua of his mother. Okay? So you should be very careful of the du'as that you make. Use them for the right thing. Do not use them for the wrong thing. Okay. Now, just a few other etiquettes of making du'a, then we can close off, inshallah, Aziz. While making du'a, we should always try to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept our sins, doing i'taraf of the sins. You know, accepting the sins that you've done in the past is also a very good thing. We find this in the Quran, and also we find this in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while making du'a, many times he would do i'taraf of his sins. Okay.
What's that mean?
I'taraf of the sins means he would accept, he would confess to his sins to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I am a sinner. Oh Allah, I am a criminal. Oh Allah, I am a bad person. Oh Allah, I am so bad that only you know of how bad I am and how evil I am. So these sort of statements, accepting your reality in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this also calls on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, right? Abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayhi, abu'u laka bi dhanbi. You know, he's once again confessing, accepting his sins in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Let me see what else is there. I think we covered everything for the etiquettes of dua. And when we're making dua, you should not hasten, you shouldn't hurry. Trust me, there is nothing else that's more important than you making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while making dua, take your time, be easy, be relaxed, you know, be focused, make all the dua that you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't going anywhere. So we shouldn't be running off anywhere either. We should take our time, raise our hand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make dua. And if we can bring these basic etiquettes into our dua, inshallah al-aziz, we will also be very successful, and our du'as will hold a lot of weight, inshallah, and they will have great effect. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of what we've said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of what we've learned, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to implement it all. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.